Well, what we were covering in our last class, last Wednesday, I think we finished or stopped on page 12, lesson 3.
Your page 12.
Oh, sorry, yeah, different page numbers.
Our page 11.
Is it y'all's page 11?
Yeah. I have it lined gone at Matthew 15.
Okay. Sorry, I have my notes in mind, so if we... Thank you, I do. We do have different page numbers.
I didn't even get the one with the notes.
Well, you have the one with the notes. I just took the notes out to print that one. But we did stop there at where we were going into Matthew 15:8. But before we look at that, just to kind of look at a couple things that we were looking at first, we're looking at, we start off with what worship is and who and why we should worship, and now we're looking at how we should worship. And in Matthew 15:8, Matthew 15:8, where it's quoting Isaiah, it says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." is this how we want God to look at our worship, as far as the way it was looked at here? Do we want it to be perceived as being vain worship?
No.
Okay. Because in verse 9 it says, you know, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." So what was the actual problem that Jesus was addressing here? What was taking place?
They weren't following God's laws. They were teaching things other than what God did.
They weren't taking care of their parents.
Just before that, they're trying
to the ceremonial
about washing hands.
Washing hands, right? So he was addressing because the Pharisees were asking why the disciples weren't washing their hands before they ate bread.
Trying to make a tradition, religion is what they're doing.
Right. Right. So that's why I put a question: is there anything wrong with doing this? And what I had in mind on that question was, as far as washing your hands, of course there's nothing wrong with washing your hands in itself.
But as a part of worship.
Yeah. Right. That's what the problem that they were doing. They were the Pharisees were saying that it was necessary or a part of worship, if you will. Luke 12:38 it just said that it is, you know, ceremonially wash the hands before the meal. So, when we look at verses like this, what can this tell us? What type of dangers can this play as far as our worship? Yes, ma'am.
Well, I saw this as them trying to bind something that's not found in the Bible, and we... That's real easy for us to do today.
Right.
There may be something that we like and we think is important. Well, is that what's really in the Bible, or is
right.
that just something that we like?
That's true. Where's the tradition coming from? And that's, we're going to look at some of that in a minute too. And that's true, because we can try to make something saying, "Hey, this is how you're supposed to do things. And sometimes, like this, they were really focusing on this. And we could focus on this and maybe forget about some of the things we need to be focusing on. Yes, sir.
Well, brother, same thing. Tradition, just because this is the way the church has done it for 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years, doesn't make it right.
Correct.
That's not religion. That's not God, what God wants. It doesn't make it right. It's right what God says. What
right.
He's put laid down in Scripture and pattern. That's what makes it right, not what the church did or what, you know, what the quote church. There's no such thing as church Christ and doctrine. We said before, it's what God and pattern says.
Okay. Any other thoughts or comments? Or? Okay. So this, we can see where this has to do with our attitude as far as wanting to please God. And we need to keep in mind that our actions, you know, how we might can teach others. So are we, what we're doing or what, or not necessarily because we're doing it, but in that sense, the way they were doing it, they were teaching it as something that had to be done ceremonially.
Your traditions, they were making their traditions more important than what was in the law.
Right. They were making their tradition. I mean, the way I'm understanding is they were basically trying to say that their traditions was law. I mean, they're acting in that point. But so one, you know, it's just something we got to think about. Are we teaching error or truth? Now, when we look at 2 Thessalonians, and 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says, "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letters from us, or by letter from us." Now, we were just talking about these traditions that the Pharisees were doing. Now it says that we should be following tradition. So is this a contradiction? Okay.
Tradition at worship.
The words once given by the apostles.
Right. Right. Because these are different types of these traditions are different. And what makes them different, like what Jim is saying, is where we get it. Is it a tradition of men or a tradition of God? So I said, hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by letter from us. So who was the us? The apostles. Okay. So how is that important to us, though, knowing that this was the apostles?
The apostles were taught by Jesus, not...
Okay.
Pharisees, a group of men, you know, a group of religious men trying to make tradition worship.
Okay. Okay, so it was, yeah, so it was handed down, but it was word of God.
Right.
Okay. So it is important to understand that because this verse is not saying to hold to any tradition that you were taught, it is showing that there's a specific teaching in mind, a teaching that they received by hearing or reading. And we too can follow such traditions. Although we did not hear the apostles, we can read and know what the will of God is.
It's direct revelation from God.
Yes, sir. Ephesians 2:20. Excuse me. having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone. And that's just a point I want to look at. Where do we get the things that we do? Are we getting these things from what we learn as being the Word of God, or are they just man's tradition? So that's we have to kind of examine the things we do, because if we were brought up just doing a certain way, doesn't say that that way is necessarily wrong, but we need to understand why we do them to see if we're doing what we need to be doing. Does somebody have a question?
It's the foundation, which everything's built upon. That's what it has to be started on. That's the starting point.
Right, that's the cornerstone. That's where you start when you build.
You can't start from anywhere else but there. That's another way of saying it's a standard.
Yes, sir. Any other thoughts or comments or no? So who does God seek to be His worshipers? Let's look at John 4:20. I'm going to read John 4:20-24. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews, but an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." So we see we need to worship in spirit and in truth. And we need to remember that as we look at different aspects of worship, because as we go on, we're going to be looking at different aspects of worship. So we need to keep that in mind in all that we look at. So that we'll be more than wanting to worship, but it will be received as worship.
Well, you read that God didn't recognize man worship. He's not going to recognize that.
Right. That's true. So we see that how, before we go into lesson four, how should we worship Him? Okay. In accordance to His will. And kind of what we touched on earlier, well, it was in last class, but it was earlier on in this lesson. And I mean, if we're supposed to worship Him in the ways that will please Him, how are we to know what these ways are?
Okay.
Through His Word. Through His Word, by studying. Okay, so we have to look at His Word. We have to read. We have to gain from it understanding. And also, we have to, it's not enough just to know. We have to apply it. Are there any comments or thoughts or questions before we move on into the next lesson?
I guess a lot of times we emphasize the truth aspect and read this verse or this section of verse, and that's valid and all that. Yeah, I think of, maybe like all of you, I think as this tends to come up and brought up, we'll think about truth as in doctrine. it may have to do with baptism, it may be have to do with Baptists for that matter, that's what doctrine is, and practices are, and that kind of thing. And that's all. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes it's really the hard part is to turn it around, and when you're practicing the right doctrine, the question is, are you practicing it for the right reason? And are you, in fact, worshiping God from the heart? Or is the spirit, the spirit's a lot harder to see in this idea of spiritual worship. Doctrine, or the carrying out of the doctrine, is a lot easier to see. You know, sometimes we might fall into the trap of what we sometimes euphemistically call it the Church of Christer. You know, fall into that trap. Well, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, therefore, whatever I do is okay. However I do it is okay, rather, as long as I'm doing the right thing. That's just as wrong as doing the wrong thing. The right thing, the wrong thing. So it's just two sides of the issue. I need to be sure we're focused on both, really.
Okay. Any other thoughts or comments? No? All right, we'll go to lesson 4.
You got these unprepared people in the back row.
There's lesson 4. I think I only have one lesson 4. Just a second. I might have
that. I did not look off.
Yeah. Okay.
You have that answer.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. I know I had back up. Okay.
Don't give them your cheating notes.
I cheat fairly.
I'm with you.
Oh,
well, it's always warmer up here.
Yeah. You're right about that. Wherever I am, it's hot.
Okay, well, lesson 4, we're going to go into prayer, and prayer is going to take up several classes, you might have noticed. So we're going to spend quite a little bit of time on prayer. And this is kind of just a little introduction to prayer. We're going to look at a couple of things before we get into different types of prayers. And then we'll look at attitudes towards prayer and when we should pray, when Jesus prayed, when the apostle prayed, and different things like that to get some information to help us to better understand why we should pray and why we should want to pray, and examples of how we should pray. In this, lesson 4, Roman numeral 1, prayer is a demonstration of trust that God hears us. So let's start off by looking at the book of prayers or songs, the Psalms. You'll know from reading Psalms, because I know we've all looked at different Psalms throughout the book of Psalms, and you see over and over ideas such as what I've listed here, words like give ear or hear. So let's keep that in mind, and let's look at a couple of Psalms here. We'll look at Psalms 4:3. It says, tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed.
Are you on 4:3?
4:3.
I think you're in the wrong place.
Where did that go?
I don't know. Psalms.
Psalms.
4.
Oh! I was on 4:4. Okay, I was close.
close.
Okay, sorry about that.
And hurricanes in Greenberg.
Okay, let's see. Let me get back where I was, or where I should have been. Psalm 4:3. We'll try that again. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. And Psalm 5:1, we see this idea, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. 17:1. Hear a just cause, O Lord, give heed to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. And in 54:2, it says, hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. So you hear, or you see this idea over and over of give ear or hear, and talking about what is from one's lips or heart. And so now when you see, and this is all throughout, I just picked just a couple of verses, and I think we all know that if we've read many of the Psalms, we see that idea over and over. But when we look at this, and y'all might not understand where I was coming from with the question, but what does this imply when you hear these psalmists speaking to the Lord in such a manner? Because it's saying, hear my cries, or hear my pleas, give ear to this, and talking about from their hearts.
He knows that they're listening.
Okay.
They know that he's listening.
They trust that God hears.
Yeah.
Okay, they trust that. So this implies faith and trust, or shows faith and trust, and that we know and believe that God does hear. Did you have a comment, Wallet? Okay. Y'all bear with me. I'm sorry. I've got a cough. I can't kick. So you can tell that the psalmist believed that they were heard by the pouring out of their heart. In Hebrews 4:16, says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, we draw near with confidence to this throne of grace in times of need. Now, so what we were looking at here is the idea that prayer is a demonstration won't just in the very fact of using it, if we're truly using it. Yes, sir.
Just the way you said that we draw near with confidence to throne of grace. I think that's it. All the time we do that, so that we receive mercy and grace. Because, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to my daughter last time, doing her lesson with it. And I said, you know, we pray all the time. A lot of people, you know, when they pray when something like this happens, when in time of need. When they get real sick, or when somebody passes away in the family, and that's the only time you're here to see these kind of people pray. That's it.
And tragedy,
or
food,
right? If something happens that you know, then they really need God, but that's it,
right?
And then they expect God to hear, or they'll say, well, why did God do this to me? That's not right. That's the wrong attitude. God's not going to hear those kind of prayers. God wants us to pray to Him all the time because of our attitude towards Him, because we need God. And then I was asking, why we need God? We need God because of forgiveness, because you know what we do, our lives. And that's the attitude we need to have for this stuff. That's the way this sounds to me, this passage, is we draw near to the throne of God, all of us. so that we can find mercy and grace in times that we really, you know, need God. I mean, we need God all the time.
Right. Well, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm reading that wrong. I don't know. What do you think about the world? What is it? How does it? Do I mean, that seems like it's, we do that all the time.
Well, I think that, again, go back to the context for a minute. The emphasis that we're into right here is Jesus is a high priest.
Right.
The fact that by virtue of that, what he's done, that he is able to intercede for us. He is able to serve as our high priest. And we know that. And we know, here's Christ as a human, and as Jesus came to earth and lived, he's lived what we live, and so that can give us, and knowing that he's our priest, that he's in heaven, that he's been, he walked our walk, so to speak, then that can give us confidence to approach.
Right. So let's...
And yeah, it'll be mercy all the time. You're right. We need God's mercy. We always have a need. I mean, our need is continual, in a manner of speaking. So we always need that. But the emphasis, I think, is on the confidence we can have.
Recognizing
our
food. Yeah. Because that's kind of the point of just this little section. You know, because I was looking at prayer as a demonstration of the trust that God does here. Did you have a...
I was just going to say, you know, just what Wally had said, but in different terms.
she can say it better than
I. Well, thanks for y'all's comments.
More so.
Did that help any, Jim?
No, it did.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any comments or questions? Okay, we'll go on to Roman numeral 2. So, why should we trust that he hears and can help us? And which some of what we covered answers that, but remember some of the things we looked up in previous classes. Why do we worship? Because he is worthy and worthy of our praise and devotion. And when you're devoted to something, that means that you are zealous or loyal. And in this case, we are devoted to, or should be devoted to, following God's will on things. So that means that we trust in Him, and we should. And He has proven over and over to be trustworthy. The things that God has asked us to do are for our own good. And we should always be mindful or thoughtful of that. When we think of the depth of God's love and what was done for us, that He sent His Son and that Jesus came so that we could have forgiveness of sin, He paid the price for us. Now, when we think of these things, there's no way that we could we know we couldn't pay this debt on our own, and not out of our own actions. So when we think of Jesus, do we truly consider what was done? So, as Wally mentioned, this was God in flesh. And He came and died for our sins. And that is what love is. He was looking out for our best interest and the best interest of others. And He provided a way for us to overcome sin. So, do we believe that we can trust in Him? And we should. But if so, then do it. He has set up an avenue, or this avenue, for a reason. And do we trust in His knowledge and understanding? No, if we trust in this, we we know these things and we trust He's looking out for our best interest. And when we know we should be praying at all times and such, do we truly trust in it and use it?
I was talking to someone the other day, and you know, it's funny because this person truly loves God and knows that He can help and He's there for it and everything, but in times of crisis sometimes, and it's a human aspect in us, I think, a lot of times, that in times of crisis, we, without thinking, mentally put our faith in man, that He's going to fix it, that man's going to fix the problem. And when talking with this person, you know, that's one of the things that they mentioned was that, you know, during this crisis, they realized that their prayers were less because they were so focused on man fixing the problem and not relying on God.
We need to trust in God.
And they do, but it was just a subconscious thing, I think. And then, you know, after talking with this person, then they went back to their faith.
Okay. Any other thoughts or comments? Okay. So in what does Matthew 6:8 say?
So therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him.
Okay. So God knows before we ask. So to me, this can tell us at least two things. What are some things y'all can think of? Because I know we don't all have the same thoughts, so I'm going to jot down what y'all might have too. So what are some things that you can think of that this we can glean from this verse? That, you know, that our Father knows what we need before we ask Him.
First, we have to have trust and confidence in God to know. Sometimes worry about what to say. God knows your heart,
right?
And understand that you may not word exactly, you know, perfectly. He knows what you need, and He knows what you're trying to say. So if you don't word it exactly right, well, He knows.
Well, that's a good thing about that, huh?
No, I can't say what I want to say, but I know He knows what I mean.
He knows what you're trying to say. Okay.
He knows that we need earthly things to survive. He knows that we shouldn't have to ask. We should be thankful for those earthly things.
He knows your heart, you're hurting, and He knows what's going on in your heart.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He knows both sides of the coin, too, you know.
So are you wanting, like, lists?
Not necessarily. Well, let me tell you the two things I thought of. Maybe it'd be easier to start from there. And then if y'all have something that y'all want to add or build upon on that, then we can go from there. But the first thing I thought of when we see this is that prayer was not designed for God. Okay, it's for us because it shows that He knows what we need before we ask. And we need to keep that in mind and trust in that fact and use prayer more often. And the second thing that I had in mind is that if God knows what we need before we ask, then does that help us to understand the problem with what some people might consider a prayer? And what I mean by that is the reciting of prayer. Because when you use prayer in the way that it's designed, then we benefit. And when you recite a prayer, I'm really not sure how you're benefited, because I think most of the time when people are reciting a specific prayer, you know, when you read, well, this is the Lord's Prayer, and I know certain people might say, well, you've got to recite a specific prayer instead of doing what the psalmist did, pouring out his heart, having to do with what they're thinking and their thoughts. Because we will look at this example of a prayer in a little while, but that's what I think that is. You know, it's a pattern to help us know how we should pray.
In Catholic school, I know one of the things they teach them are all these different prayers, so that when they go to confession, they say, okay, you say two, da 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 da, four, da 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 da.
Right, and that's what I have.
You're doing it without
thinking. You're not thinking.
Yeah, you just, that's like, you know.
This is the formula.
Say the Pledge of Allegiance. You can say the Pledge of Allegiance without thinking. It just flies off your tongue. And that's what some of these prayers are.
Right. Well, and that's why I wanted to look at the idea of the Psalms beforehand, because we see in these examples of prayers that, you know, it had to do with people's hearts, what they were thinking, they're pouring out, or hear my cry, hear my plea. You know, these were things that were wearing down on them. These were things that were on their heart. So they were opening this up to God, and they were speaking to Him, trusting and knowing that He heard. So I put on here that, because that was kind of the idea I was looking at, that prayer is not a formula that is to be memorized or repeated. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with reciting things, if you're going with intention to build upon that, you know, from the heart. But that's just my thought on that. When we use prayer in this way, we fall in the trap of it being meaningless repetition, like you had mentioned, Don. And in verse 7 of Matthew 6, it warned of this. It said the problem being addressed was because the Gentiles' attitudes towards prayer. You know, they suppose that they will be heard for the many words. And can you see how reciting a prayer could fall into this same category?
I think sometimes we also have to be careful that when we're praying, it's not to, okay, I've got the floor, you know, I'm just going to be wordy. You know what I mean? Because people don't like to hear themselves talk.
I know what you're talking. It would have to depend. I don't think there is a certain amount of words.
I'm
not inclined that that's what you meant.
But I don't want. I mean, I.
Well, meaningless repetition, as we read. I mean, is that what you mean? They're just for the many words. You know, hey, I'm going to do a long prayer. Because long prayers are good. If what you're saying is from the heart, and, you know, you're focusing on something. But also sometimes short prayers are good. Not because they're short, but I mean, it has to do with what's, you know, where it's coming from.
Right.
And what's being focused on.
Right.
Any comments or... Yes, ma'am.
The verses before this, he was talking about motives for prayer, and he was saying don't be like the hypocrites.
Right.
And he used the example of how they like to stand in the street and pray just so they could be
heard.
So they could see them praying.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, they weren't doing it for the benefit of, or what prayer was designed for. They were doing it for their own need. Well, not really need, but yes, they think of it as need. But they were doing it for self.
Yeah, it's a kind of minor point, but it kind of strikes me in verse 8, talking about God. he knows what you need. It doesn't say he knows what you want.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, sometimes we have a hard time differentiating those two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because we'll, I think I touched on this a little further down. I think it's in this lesson. You know, because he never promises us the health and wealth and all of that. You know, that's not what he's talking about as far as need. I think we're about to get buzzed, aren't we?
I think we may.
Is it not working out here?
I don't know.
Okay, well, let's stop here.
Do you rain before the fire?
I don't hear.